It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's time now for The Checkup, our weekly series about how healthcare is changing in Maryland. Today, we're focusing on preventive care. The Affordable Care Act requires that private insurers fully cover the costs of 45 recommended preventive services, such as obesity counseling, mammograms, certain vaccinations, and contraceptives. Some of that might change. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case about whether employers with religious objections can legally refuse to cover contraception. But right now, all 45 preventive services are offered without patients being charged a copay or a deductible. That provision went into effect in September 2010. We wanted to find out, what does this mean for the health of individual patients? What could it mean for the future health of the U.S. as a society? And how much is it all going to cost? Joining me now to speak about this is Stacey Fruling. She's the Chief Administrative Officer for People's Community Health Centers, which has three locations in Baltimore City and two in Anne Arundel County. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And also with us is Kathy Hempstead, Program Officer and Public Health Expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and she joins us on the line from Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Stacey, I mentioned a few services that are being offered. What else is covered under the Affordable Care Act?
You know, this is really an opportunity for people to have access to testing that may have been out of their price range prior to the Affordable Care Act. So these are all services that have always been offered, but at some pretty hefty price ranges. An example of that is the shingles vaccine, which right now, if you went to a clinic to get a vaccine, would cost you about $225 out of your pocket. But under the Affordable Care Act, it's now one of the covered services. So adult vaccinations is really a key market that up until now has not been available for a lot of insured or uninsured folks.
Adult vaccination, so that's
yes. One.
What else? I know it's a long list.
It is a long list.
To tick off all 45.
It's, you know, we're talking about mammograms. We're talking about colonoscopies. We're talking about certain types of testing and screening. So blood pressure screening, diabetes screening, HIV testing. A number of blood draw testings, a number of other vaccinations and screening tests that, again, may have had a high price tag. Mammograms and prostate exams and colonoscopies are really some of the big ones.
And so if you are interested in something that you consider preventive, it's worth talking to your doctor?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kathy, what does this mean for people who don't have insurance? I mean, will they be able to access these services for free as well?
Well, to the extent to which someone that doesn't have insurance would get any of these services, chances are they would be provided at a FQHC or some kind of community clinic where they would be offered free of charge. But the Affordable Care Act is really talking about people with exchange plans.
So we're not talking about, I don't have insurance in general, but I think I should get a mammogram, so I'm going to go into a doctor and say, hey, I understand it's a free service, give it to me.
The idea of the Affordable Care Act is to really reduce the number of the uninsured, so this will give this benefit to a great number of people.
Who have not had insurance, but they need to get it in
order
to access.
Some of whom have not had insurance and others who perhaps were in a different plan in the individual market.
And Kathy, how is this being paid for?
Well, it is incorporated into the premiums. I mean, providers are being paid to provide these services.
So is this part of when we hear critics of the Affordable Care Act talk about premiums going up because the Affordable Care Act requires more coverage, these preventive services are part of that more coverage that insurers are providing?
Well, the services that are being covered are really ones that have been found by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force to be cost-effective services. So they're only those that are recommended as the A or B level. So the idea is that at a societal level, it's really cost-saving for people to get these recommended clinical preventive services.
Stacey, the Affordable Care Act also expands Medicaid.
Yes.
Which means that many people in Maryland who were covered or have been covered by PAC, the mm-hmm. primary adult care, will be covered under Medicaid as of January 1st. Does that impact what services you offer those clients, what preventive services?
Yes, absolutely. Primary adult care, or PAC, covers primary adult care only. It does not cover any specialty service. So it really, if you think about going to your PCP, it covers what your PCP can do and only that.
Your primary care physician.
Maryland Medicaid is a full expansion of services. So these individuals will now have access to any and all specialty care, cardiology, radiology, obstetrics and gynecology if they didn't previously have family planning. It really expands the full gamut of what we would consider quality, expansive health services.
On 88.1 Maryland Morning, I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Stacy Frueling, Chief Administrative Officer for People's Community Health Centers, which have locations around Baltimore City and Anne Arundel County, and Kathy Hempstead, Program Officer and Public Health Expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Kathy, the ACA also makes some changes to how Medicare, the government insurance for the elderly, deals with preventive care. What are some of those changes?
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. For people on Medicare, the ACA is really trying to improve preventive care and make it a little bit more sort of more comprehensive and more sort of a personal wellness plan is the phrase that they actually use to describe what they cover. But there is some cost sharing in Medicare for preventive services, and that's been eliminated. And these preventive services are covered for Medicare beneficiaries, but they also have a little bit more sort of comprehensive assessment of health risks. They talk about individual and family medical history and talk to the doctor about prescription medications currently being taken, et cetera, and then sort of plan screening set schedules for the future. So it's actually sort of this comprehensive wellness exam in addition to the coverage of the individual clinical preventive services.
I mentioned at the beginning that this provision of law went into effect in September 2010. I think a lot of us tend to think of a lot of parts of the Affordable Care Act as taking effect in January. These preventive services without copays starting in January are already in effect?
They're already in effect.
And Stacy, then, what are you seeing? Are more people taking part in preventive services as a result of the Affordable Care Act?
Some parts of them are already in effect. Those that are part or eligible for the expansion services won't necessarily start, particularly in Maryland, until January 1st.
Right.
So in some cases, we have seen an uptick in the number of folks coming in for preventative care. But by and large, we are expecting to see an increase in the Affordable Care Act participation with newly insured and newly expanded beginning in January.
So if I were to ask you, are you seeing an effect on the actual health of your patients, you'd say?
Not yet.
Kathy, what could the long-term effects on health be?
Well, I mean, so much of the morbidity and mortality in this country is from chronic conditions that are really preventable through, you know, getting appropriate clinical preventive services and having, appropriate nutritious diets, physical activity, you know, things like that. So I think the opportunity to reduce costs as well as improve health outcomes by increasing our use of recommended clinical preventive services is, you know, significant. So, you know, the idea behind doing this is to improve health outcomes and reduce costs.
When do you think we might actually see either of those health outcomes or costs being affected by this preventive care?
Oh, it's really hard to say, because another thing that's also relevant, that's another part of the Affordable Care Act that relates to preventive health, is there's a pretty significant investment in public health, in our public health system. And that's, you know, clinical preventive services are very important, but it's really also important that we have a strong public health system and that we think about ways to make our environment healthy so that it's easier for people to have a healthy lifestyle that's conducive to reducing their risk for chronic conditions.
And what are you seeing, Stacy, in terms of, or what are you expecting in terms of when you'll see effects on your patients?
We've already started speaking with a number of our patients who are eligible for the expansion services and have been getting them connected with the health marketplace and the exchanges to make sure that they have all of their paperwork and process in place, ready to go by January 1. So for us, it's really about educating our current patient base, expanding to help those who are currently uninsured understand that they will have an option, and then getting them connected through our benefits eligibility specialists and through the Navigator program to make sure that they have access to what they need.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece of that, then, is once I have insurance, now what do I do with it? So once they come in for these preventative services, Kathy speaks to something that's really important for us as a community health center, and that is, now that you know, what do you do with that information? So if I have the preventative screen and I find out that I am pre-diabetic, or I have that screen and I find out that I don't have HIV, what am I doing next? and what kind of care am I getting to make sure that I don't end up in a situation where I have a chronic condition? And what are we doing about those social determinants of health that the Affordable Care Act makes somewhat available? But again, it's that environment piece of it, too, that's so important when it comes to health care and so important when it comes to personal health.
When you talk about social determinants, you're thinking of what?
I'm thinking of environment. I'm thinking of the living situations that people are in, the safety and access to care. So it's not just about having that health insurance and having those screenings, but do you live in an environment that's safe? If your doctor says you should get more exercise, is it safe to walk in your neighborhood? Do you live in an area that's considered a food desert where you don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables? Those are the other pieces of it that in a primary care setting, we can only do but so much. And it's the social piece of health care that we need to focus on next.
Well, I appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you. Thank you both.
Sure. My pleasure.
Stacy Fruling is Chief Administrative Officer for People's Community Health Centers, which have 3 locations in Baltimore City, 2 in Anne Arundel County. Kathy Hempstead is the Program Officer and Public Health Expert with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/thecheckup. I'm Sheila Cast. Lots more to come. Stay with us on 88.1.